wanted to touch base on the first reading and then on the last reading. Now, in the first reading, I'm going to read a version of it which appears in the Gospel of Luke. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That is how Jesus began his ministry in the Gospel of Luke. He took those words from Isaiah, and he proclaimed to the people that he was the fulfillment. This was going to be his ministry. And for the rest of the gospel, we see Jesus cure the sick, the blind see, the lame leap. He unbinds anything that keeps a person captive so that they might go free. And he is there for the oppressed. And he does proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, the year of the Lord's favor in the Old Testament was called a jubilee year. It was every 50 years. And that's the year everyone was to let go of any debts that anybody owed you so that you did not collect debts. And I think that what Jesus does throughout his ministry by proclaiming the kingdom of God is near is saying that we are going to celebrate the Jubilee year now and every year. And I think that's something for us to consider in our own ministry as Christian people. We see in our midst, it's not that everyone goes out and visits the sick, and then the next day visits the prisoners, and the next day, it's that each of us has been given a gift. And through the people of Christ, the sick get visited, the prisoners get visited, people get a chance to have what binds them up loosened so that they can be free again, and that that we can all thrive together in the year of the Lord's favor, which is right now, here in this place. And now I want to turn to the gospel reading, because the gospel reading also addresses what it means to follow Jesus, to walk that walk as a Christian people, individual people, and also a people who are a group. We have many people worshiping at the same time. Some of them are worshiping at 11. Others did 9:15. A few of us here in this church, quite a few, at 8 o'clock. But all over the world, in different time zones, Christians are worshiping. And let us remember that we are part of that Christian movement together. Now, Jesus appears again in the last chapter of John. You remember that in the chapter before, which sounded like the end of the book, it ended that there were more sayings and that he did many things. And then A whole new chapter came afterwards. I've always loved that either. So we have a whole chapter in which Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection in this reading. Peter, who is probably still mourning the loss of Jesus, has gone home to fish again. Isn't that what we do when something horrendous happens? We go home and we do what we're good at. So he went fishing. And a few of the disciples went with him, but they caught nothing. But in the early morning, Jesus, who's on the shore, asks them if they caught anything, and they said no. So he says, well, if you throw your nets on the right side, you might catch some. And not only do they catch some, but they catch a lot of big fish, 155 of them. If my memory's right. I think that that's a huge number and represents the abundance that Christ brings to each of us in our lives. And now, then, the beloved disciple says, it is the Lord. So Peter jumps into the water and runs to the shore. He put on clothes first. I think that's backwards. Wouldn't you take your clothes off to go into the water? But anyway, he put on his clothes, then ran. He went in the water and ran to the shore. And then the other disciples followed in the boat, bringing a lot of fish. And Jesus invites them to a breakfast. He's got fish, and he invites them to bring some more fish. And he has bread, and he feeds them. And after that, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, that's Peter, by the way, says, yes, I love you, Lord. Then Jesus says again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Then Jesus says a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Simon, son of John, Peter, is upset because he asked him a third time, you know that I love you, Lord. You know everything. Now, in this conversation, Jesus is doing two things at once. He's forgiving Peter for denying him three times the evening before he was killed. And he is also telling Peter what to do next. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. And then he tells him, follow me. And it seems to me that in this following of Jesus that we all do now, the disciples handed down these readings through the years so that we have them right now. And we, as we follow him, are the disciples living now, and we are asked to feed the lambs, to tend to the sheep, to do all those things we had in the first reading. And so our invitation, my invitation to you this Sunday, is to ponder where Jesus is leading us next and what it is that we will be doing to feed and tend. Amen.